The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Edition of the Stunt Granny audio edition. This is about Prime Wrestling, which used to be Pro Wrestling Ohio. My friend, as always, in these talks is Dan Keister. How you doing, Dan?
Well, Kevin, I'm doing fairly well. Probably not as well as you are. Watched one of the most exciting college baseball games yesterday of recent memory of the Kent State Golden Flashes. So, congratulations to them, and I know you're riding high about that.
Yeah, it's been fun. I think I'd mentioned to my fellow attendee, Mr. Mays, there about it, and I haven't been this fired up about anything that they've done since the Elite Eight, and I think that was in '96 at this point. Oh, hold on,
okay.
It was '02. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, it seemed more recent than that because I have a vague memory of it. I mean I can't say I watched every pitch, but I watched the last few innings and talk about dodging some bullets. That was extremely exciting. I thought they were squeezing the guy a little bit, the pitcher in the ninth inning, and I was really getting upset for you, sir. So I was pleased that they won.
Yeah, that was one thing. I was just like, oh, my God, I don't care what you do. Just call the same thing a goddamn strike.
Yeah, I can understand that frustration. It certainly appeared that they were but, you know, the third base umpire made the right call. The guy went around, and then, they managed to pull it off. So, yeah, let's see. Now, tomorrow are they playing South Carolina? Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you never know. I mean, that's not going to be easy. But actually, the only time I went to the World Series was in 2004, and that was my last year working at University of Arkansas. So then I was a big Arkansas fan, went up and watched them lose to Texas. But I hope your team pulls it off this time. That's the biggest rooting interest that I have in this because Missouri baseball, they won the Big 12 tournament, which was a nice little consolation prize for a team that wasn't very good this year. So at least they got into the NCAAs, but there wasn't much happening there.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, it was kind of funny. Like right before they went on their tear, they really hadn't started the year out very well. And I stopped paying attention for a little bit. And then all of a sudden, they're, on a 21-game win streak and into the regional tournament.
You know, now the MAC, they didn't get any other teams in the NCAAs, I assume. Is that right?
No, they never do.
You'd think maybe they should. I mean, same with basketball. I mean, these teams have had some success. They seem to get a little overlooked.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's really the case with the baseball. I would still argue that for basketball to at least get the whoever loses the teams that get into the MAC championship game, I think deserve a spot.
Yeah, or your conference regular season champion or something. Absolutely, because teams seem to do a fair amount of damage.
Yeah. But baseball-wise, I think it's part of it. It's kind of surprising how many northern teams actually are starting to play in the College World Series.
Yeah.
And so that's the other thing. I mean, it used to be like all people from the South, teams from the South, and it's not really the case anymore.
Well, at least they kind of make it and do some good. I mean, in Omaha this year, you've got Arkansas, Florida State, South Carolina, Florida. So there's a fair number of and then UCLA. I mean, then the West Coast has always been good. But yeah, but there seems to be a little bit more success, at least, you know, maybe winning a regional here and there. So yeah, I like college baseball. I really enjoy it. I go to several games here at the other K-State from time to time. So it's a fun event to go see. And I actually went and saw some softball. We went and watched the Missouri softball with a friend because we were had a long weekend. It was Memorial Day, and they didn't make the World Series, but that's kind of an exciting sport too. So kind of these overlooked sports, they're worth checking out maybe.
Yep. Well, sometimes an overlooked league has been Prime Wrestling Ohio.
Nice segue.
Segue City. Yeah. Well, they did. The biggest news, obviously, if anyone's read my reviews, is that they changed their name from Pro Wrestling Ohio to Prime Wrestling because of a real change in ownership, but one that we're not necessarily going to talk about. But there's also an on-screen changing of ownership. Did you like the way that they did that?
You know, when I first saw, I mean, just to refresh people, and they really need to look at your excellent TV reviews on Stunt Granny, because we're going to be covering 3 weeks of television, and we've both been having a difficult time catching up, and of course, there was so long of a time where there was repeat after repeat of Pro Wrestling Ohio TV. People want to, you know, kind of look at these last three episodes of the new Prime Wrestling. I kind of liked it at the time. I mean, Aaron McGuire was funny, as he always is, and just gleeful at having some power. And I guess, you know, the nice thing is, I hadn't thought about this until I think you pointed out on the website, all they really need to do is call it the Prime Wrestling Organization, and then they could still, you know, say this is the PWO title. And I think there's some positives of having that type of continuity, and yet you still have a more national or regional or international or worldwide name, however you want to look at it. But, yeah, I liked it at the time, and now – you know, it's like, well, Aaron McGuire has some power, but he's not really in charge. I don't like that. They had to do something, and it was fine. They explained that they were naming it after Marion Fontaine, but I just don't like all these convoluted who's in charge storylines. I get enough of that with the other stuff I watch on TV, and we've, for the most part, until Justin LaBar showed up, we've avoided that in PWO. So I have mixed feelings.
Yeah, you know, they kind of jammed the name down our throats the first episode, but they have kind of let that go, which is kind of nice. And, yeah, it more is that it really is kind of surprising out of them. Even if they go simple, they usually tend to explain things, and they don't leave logic gaps or just kind of these big kind of openings. And, yeah, this one's kind of a big opening because McGuire really hasn't done anything with his power. And, you know, in past years, anytime he's had any sort of power, he has abused it. So the fact
yeah,
that
he's
he has.
Yeah, he's been funny talking about how he has power and how he could get rid of Joe Dombrowski on the commentary from time to time. But outside of that, you know, yeah, he hasn't shown really any of it. So. You know, it's okay. Aesthetically, I would say the website looks great. I checked that out, you know, soon after the first show. The ring aprons and all the signage, I think, you know, it's a sharp-looking logo. I will say that.
Yeah, no, I think the whole kit and caboodle, really, looks a lot better. Like, I don't know how much they changed production and whatnot, but it seemed like the venue was more well lit at this set of recordings, and on top of that, what did I? Oh yeah, I mean the logo does look it looks a little cleaner. It does actually kind of look about some old school WWF with
yeah.
that kind of block lettering. Going on,
It's a professional organization. I mean, they do a lot of things professionally, and now some of their aesthetics have caught up to that, so that's nice.
Yeah, so like you too, though, I could probably use, I could use some delineation in what exactly is going on, or to have the characters act like they probably should.
Yes.
Overall, it really, it hasn't changed anything, so it's not that big a deal. They carried on with all of the storylines that they had already set in motion for this season of Pro Wrestling Ohio. That's why I've just even maintained the same season number and just added to the episode guide that we were already at, or that I was already at, because it didn't make any difference in that department, and I don't think that's a bad thing.
Oh, absolutely not. No, I mean, continuity is the thing that they've done best all this time, and that's certainly, that's it's great that they did keep that continuity, no question.
Gotcha. Well, they did start off real quick with a Crimson versus Matt Cross match, in which Cross won. I don't know. I don't have a whole lot. It was a good match, and probably helped is to show how good Cross was. Honestly, do you think it hurt Crimson too much?
Oh, not too much. I mean, it's just to me. I mean, that could have been the main event of Resolution if they're having Resolution this year.
Right.
You know, it's like we'll talk about this, but they had kind of their big, I don't know exactly what their big storyline is going to be, but it's clear that they wanted to put something else in motion. And I don't think anyone came away that hurt from it. It was a good match. It was a competitive match. The baby faces came out to keep the heels from helping Crimson win. And Crimson thought that Matt Mason might help him win, and he didn't come to help him. And all that makes sense. It's just, when I first saw it, I thought, boy, I don't want to start seeing a lot of hotshot booking on this new program, but it just seems more likely that they have something else in mind. I liked the way they were going in Pro Wrestling Ohio. I'd have preferred they kept building around Matt Cross to kind of foreshadow what happens in later episodes. But for what they executed, I think it was fine. It's just not what I would have done.
Right. The other kind of, there's another story arc that started there just because all these, the other stuff with Jimmy Jacobs kind of interweaves with that, but let's hit some comedy here first. There's a new tag team on the loose in Pro Wrestling Ohio, and it's Dan Arkham and Brian Castle. Any thoughts about this new tandem?
Well, entertaining, at least that the it's maybe kind of a one note thing, but Brian Castle does have great comedic timing, and throughout this entire thing, just this idea that Vic is in there interviewing him and he's convinced that Daniel Arkham is Batman. It sounds ridiculous, and it sounds, really stupid, which I'm not going to say that it's not, but it's executed in a very humorous way. And, it's entertaining to me. I mean, I do like that, and I have no problem with those guys teaming up, particularly, Castle may be kind of without a mentor right now, so he's with Dan Arkham, and they've had Arkham on long enough that they can give him a meaningful storyline. So it's been that part's been entertaining. I thought Castle's interview was better than Arkham's, but it all kind of built together.
Seem to be having problems with their keeping their tag team division afloat. So I think it's a good solution to it, and even if they're more of a comedy act, it at least gives the because I don't even remember who the tag is, or the tag champs. I'm trying to think.
It's the it's Crimson and
Gory.
No, it's Crimson and Cursed. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, Crimson, they were going for all the belts. I mean, he wanted to be the dominant, the Dead Wrestling Society, be completely dominant at that time, and it didn't happen. And if they were going to get the belt off of Matt Cross, as they did, then they needed to have that match so Crimson can blame Matt Mason. But, again, I just felt like they kind of rushed through that, but I guess they felt like they had to.
Right. Yeah, no, it's yeah, well, the big cat's out of the bag, but that's okay. It was kind of hard to talk about since we're reviewing all three shows. It's not a big deal. Well, Jimmy Jacobs was up next since he is the one that did indeed capture the belt. We can do a little just go with him winning the belt in particular right now, and then we'll talk about the side storyline that he has going on. What do you think about Jacobs winning the belt?
I mean, it's pretty obvious from what I said before. It wasn't the direction. I really like Matt Cross as champion, and so, you know, they've got, I mean, you kind of have to talk a little bit about the side storyline, because in the match where Jacobs beats Aaron Draven, I think, pretty clean, and then they built that up to him getting the title shot with Matt Cross, which he won when the rest of Sex Appeal, who he's been mentoring, kind of came to help, Nikki Valentino being more gung-ho about helping Jimmy Jacobs than Bobby Beverly was, although they both helped him win and kind of did what they needed to do. You know, Jacobs is talented. His interviews have been pretty good on the show. It's not like I'm a hater. I just, you know, PWO has always kind of been built around their own talent, and to take someone that's better known for work elsewhere is just different, and it's not my preference. That's all. It's not that he's not doing a good job and that the storyline's not compelling at all, but I like the whole, you know, between Johnny Gargano or Jason Bain or Matt Cross or the guys that have been the champions as I've watched, it's felt more like an original PWO type event, if that makes any sense. What do you think? You can kind of elaborate on what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think I was in the same boat there when I saw it, because it was just like, really? Like, it gives him and Gargano more of a stakes in their feud, but it doesn't seem like one of those feuds that needs it. It seems like it's supposed to be a really super personal feud, and you don't really need a belt for that type of feud at all, I don't think. So just within that aspect, without even looking at the fact that a guy, who's a part-timer in your organization grabbing the belt right after, and it really wasn't even that long after Matt Cross won it. Like, both his championship reigns have been kind of short.
Yep.
And after kind of building him up and having him beat Gargano, that doesn't really jive all that well with me either, because it's just like, come on, you guys like are billing him as the cornerstone. Have him feud well, like you said, him and Crimson could have been a resolution match if indeed they have it. And I don't know, I mean, they could have built somebody else up if it wasn't going to be Crimson. They have enough people. I think they have enough people in there. I was trying to think of someone off the top of my head who they could do that with, and actually, it's not coming to mind.
Well, I mean, they could have built a member of Sex Appeal, heel or face. They could have, they had some options there. I mean,
yeah.
And if nothing else, I mean, they could have, I guess, built to Jacobs going against Cross, but I wouldn't have, you know, and. I don't know. That's
right
just
away.
My preference. Now, the one thing is, a couple things that I'll say in the defense of the storyline. Dombrowski's done a really good job of saying, you know, Jimmy Jacobs has to win the belt to show that he can do everything Johnny Gargano did in less time. I don't think that – I'm with you. I don't think that's really a necessary part of the storyline, but that's what they're saying. You know, this shows I'm better than Johnny Gargano because I won the belt so quickly. And, you know, Cross, in terms of time holding the belt, I guess it was, you know, half a year, which isn't that bad, or maybe longer. I mean, he won it in Resolution in August, so what is that? We're looking at 7-8 months. But
yeah,
had such
but
few programs, he's not – it doesn't feel that way.
That and they don't – well, yeah, there are a bunch of repeats, and not just on top of that. They always take the time off after Resolution there to take a little break. So, you know, it's like, oh, really? Like, you know, so that always doesn't help whoever wins the title since there's a couple months break in there.
Yeah. No, that's – I mean, if you know, I've always kind of – they, you know, this has always been something they've talked about. I wouldn't really mind if after WrestleMania – like, if wrestling had a season or even if it was just,
yeah,
like 2 weeks off. I mean, I don't think that's so bad. But, yeah, PWO has always overdone that where they show a lot of Resolution for a long time before they have anything new.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, having all the repeats in here really didn't do them any favors. And I guess that was one bad thing about the changeover in ownership is that it took an awful long time for them to get back up and running. But there was a new show on this past weekend.
Which we have not watched.
Yeah,
which we have not watched. We're going to kind of watch those. Rather than watch it and then I'd get confused and give something away, I just elected not to watch. So.
Yeah, so we'll go ahead and go over those at some later point here. But, yeah, no, it'll be that. Oh, and that, the other thing I was going to mention, because that's how I pulled up their site, is that they're recording again July 8th. So if they taped 3 hours this past time, they should have three more episodes, a recap week, and then, you know, new shows after that again.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's long overdue.
Yeah, so it looks like they're back on track in that department, which is a plus. Okay, let's – oh, yeah, you know, the other part of that the storyline that I haven't with Jimmy Jacobs there that we haven't really talked about is that well, we kind of hinted at it, is that Nikki Valentino has been far more into helping out Jimmy Jacobs than Bobby Beverly with Bobby Shields MIA for the time being.
Yeah, and I like this.
Okay.
I don't know if you're in agreement or not, and I didn't mean to step on you there. But yeah, I like this storyline. I think Bobby Beverly is playing his part really well. You know, he lost a match to Jason Bain, which was Jimmy Jacobs giving him a chance to, quote, prove himself. I mean, this booking is good. I thought Joe Dombrowski, and they do this, and it's fine. It's better than most anything else you see on television as far as booking that makes no sense. But sometimes they kind of hit you over the head with what they're trying to get across, and they kept saying, oh, you know, Bobby Beverly, I mean, he lost to Jason Bain, but he wrestled such a great match, and he was so great, and he was really great, and it was really competitive, and it's like they overdid that a little bit. But, again, they want to make their storylines where people can follow them. I much prefer that to the opposite, where Nikki Valentino has won some matches, doing everything Jimmy Jacobs is advised him to do, and he's kind of the chosen one. I think he's kind of now supposedly Bobby Beverly's leader. And, of course, Bobby Beverly's the one that brought in Jimmy Jacobs. So the whole, you know, they seem to be building to some sort of Beverly Jacobs feud down the road, I guess, which I think is pretty good. I like that part, and I like kind of the slow build to what should be a Bobby Beverly face turn, I think. I mean, that seems to be pretty obvious from where they're going.
Yeah, no, and I don't have any problems with that, although it almost seems like the only problem that I have with it seems like they need to get, oh, and you know what? He's another guy that was kind of MIA with these tapings, and I hope that he is back, is Matt Justice.
Yes.
Like, he made the big deal out of not being happy in the WWE, and he wanted to come back to PWO. And then he's kind of been a bit of a no-show, and then when he did show, he turned on Jason Bayne, but they haven't been able to move that storyline forward, which has been a bit of a problem. But because, yeah, I was thinking with Beverly that they needed to make someone else, some other big kind of name, heel, and I had really forgotten about Matt Justice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you wonder, they haven't brought him up as much. I mean, well, no, Bayne did bring him up in his last interview, so I guess they're gonna build off of that. Yeah, let me correct myself on that. But the thing, you know, and this, I'm assuming Bobby Shields is coming back, and if he is, this is old school booking, and I like it. You know, here, if there is a breakup of sex appeal, the other guy, whose side is he gonna take? Like, he's on the out. Here's Bob. What's Bobby Shields gonna do? I mean, they can build some good TV off of that. And, you know, the idea would probably be that he would stay with sex appeal, but maybe make you think he was going to go with Bobby Beverly. So you could have Beverly Valentino. You could have, there's a lot of things you could do with that. And kind of that inner dynamic between Valentino and Shields has been good. Valentino is pretty good kind of being smarmy and bossy and stuff, I think.
Yeah, no, it had really helped them out that they had already been moving his character into a serious territory. And then they really just kind of kicked it into gear with that. So that helped out a lot. If he had just been the joke character, always doing the the late night Nikki Valentino kind of stuff, where he was the master of all the 80s holds, like he was doing at the end of last season. It really wouldn't have worked at all.
No, I agree. No, it's a nice build of his character.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I agree with you. Beverly should be turning babyface here at some point, and that's perfectly okay.
Yes.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, is there anything left to say about that interplay of characters there with sex appeal and...
I think we covered it. I think it's good. I mean, I think it's good. But unless there's something you'd like to add, I said all I cared to say.
Yep, no. I think really the last kind of big storyline is one that, you know, kind of got covered there at the Overtaken ownership, where it got named after Marion Fontaine. Well, of course, we had to continue. Even though Aaron McGuire is still in charge, so is LaBar for, like, running the show or something of the sort.
Don't ask me.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Yeah, it's still kind of weird. But in the last match of the opening episode, Marion Fontaine is fighting Gregory Iron, and he ends up clocking Justin LaBar after the match.
With a chair, supposedly an accident, yeah.
Yep. What do you think about the continuation of a now a year-long feud in PWO / Prime Wrestling?
You know, I don't care for it. Justin LaBar got his revenge at Resolution last year. And again, it's nothing against him personally or his character even too much. It's just all this power play backstage is just annoying to me. I don't like it on the other programs, and I don't like it on this program. So I don't have a whole lot to say about it. Other than, again, they made that the main event of the first show and not Matt Cross versus Crimson. And just, I don't know. They wanted to lead off with Matt Cross versus Crimson, I guess, start the show with a bang, but that's not as big of a deal. I'm sorry. It's just not. I don't think people care about it that much. Fontaine's good on the mic, but it's just that we've seen this for a while. It's just going on and on.
Yeah, no, it really could use to be put to sleep. Like you said, I don't like him on the other shows. I don't like him in this one. There are plenty of people for him to feud with in the meantime. Have him do it.
And the only other thing I want to say before, and this is kind of a just something to throw out there because I don't want it to fall apart and not that I not remember to mention it. There are a few people. I think James Storm has just done great interviews for a long time in wrestling right now. And there's a few others, but Crimson is top five in wrestling right now. He had another promo where he's just so pissed. Again, and it's kind of illogical that he's pissed at this Matt Mason for not helping him beat Matt Cross, but that interview is worth seeking out. And he's done a few interviews this season that have really just been like, damn, they've been good. And that was another one. I really liked that interview, and it was kind of, I think it was in the second episode, so you may kind of, you know, it really isn't, it's just something they're using to build up to the future, but it's worth watching. I mean, he is a dark character that, boy, he just plays it so well. I really am impressed with that.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up that. Where the shit? Oh, yeah. Okay, there it was. I just needed to pull that up to refresh
myself.
No,
you wrote about it very well, and you know, I kind of looked at your reviews as a reminder before we did this audio, but I was the same way. I just... You know, when I go back and rewatch a promo on a show like PWO, it's pretty good, and I certainly have done that. I just spent a fair amount of money to get some old Mid-South DVDs because WWE bought them out, and they probably won't be selling them that much longer. And same type of reason, just some of those promos from the day I wanted to have. And, yeah, that was really good. Really
yeah,
good.
Well, and yeah, you had mentioned it earlier that this was the second episode was the one that I think everyone was cutting really good promos because Brian Castle had his about Arkham being Batman, and I guess and you know I
first.
Didn't think about the Arkham Asylum jokes that you could make with him being Batman too.
Kirst had a good promo. Fontaine had a good promo.
Yeah,
I noticed you didn't give Jacob's promo a lot. You gave it a zero. I don't remember it as well. It was okay, but yeah.
He's trying to do something different and was like laying on the table talking to. I think this was the one. Maybe he didn't.
It didn't stand out as much. I mean, it was fun.
It wasn't bad. And then I guess the only, like, because, I mean, that was almost, wow, I mean, now that I look at it, it's like, it was a crazy promo show. But
which is good to reestablish where they're going. I mean, I like that when you've been on hiatus like that.
And then I guess this feud almost goes in line with the, has this gone on too long? Gory and Michael the Bomber Facade for the TV title.
Yeah, I like the finish as you did. I mean, Gory intentionally got disqualified, hit him low, and you know, they both did promos the following week. Neither one of which did a whole lot for me. And it's just, you know, it's a TV title. These guys are improving, and And it is what it is. It's not what's got me watching the show as much as some of the other stuff. Neither
right.
the matches nor the promos. But I'm probably being harder on it than I mean to be. But it just, it's there. It's fine. It's not bad. But it's not. It doesn't do a whole lot for me.
Yeah, no, I think that's when I'm in that territory, that's why I start using zeros. It's like, I don't think you bombed, but, you know, it's not the best effort.
But I think, what is it, Facade, he wants one more chance, and that's all he needs. Yeah, one more match, and if he loses, he can't go after the TV title, but if it's a DQ, he gets the belt. So, again, if this was Resolution around the corner, it'd be a good time to have the big blow off, but
blow
I guess
off.
They'll have it on TV. So that's okay. I don't
yeah.
have a problem with it.
Well, I guess there's two other things that really from the last episode here. Because, you know, another continuing feud, so we mentioned the Curse promo, and it was against Gregory Iron. Curse ended up beating him that following week after the promo. What did you think of a relatively clean finish there?
I liked it. I like it when the heels win clean. I'm glad you brought that up. I thought that was a good match, and he choked him out, and it looked vicious, and Cursed, I think, is progressing. And, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, I mean, you have people move up and down the card. I don't know that Iron's necessarily moving down the card, but no, it was good. It was good. I thought that was a highlight. Another thing that you pointed out in your review of this last episode, and I know we're just kind of scattershot some things because we have a lot to catch up on, but same type thing. The announcers, particularly Dombrowski, who I really like, just kept talking about how mad Bobby Beverly should be that Nikki Valentino won, got the pin in his match when he was the legal man, and he was, you know, there was no reason for him not to take the pin. It's just a little little over the top. And you pointed that out in your review, and I was kind of looking at it, and I thought that was a good point. But the Curse stuff, that was a badass-looking move. I liked it. I don't have a problem with him winning clean. It makes it – and, you know, Cardinals are getting beat tonight. They lost tonight. They're the good guys, and they lost. It's okay. It happens, you know?
Yeah, no, and it certainly seems like since Cursed and Crimson have the tag title belts, it really wouldn't surprise me to have a teaming, you know, and I mentioned it as Jason Bain or Matt Mason, but I guess Matt Mason would really make the most sense there. And if they want to have
Mason and Iron.
Mason and Iron, and then if they really just want to go all in, if Matt Justice comes back, they can have a six-man match with Bane, Mason, and Iron against Cursed, Crimson, and Matt
Gory.
Justice.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, so Gory's kind of on the outside with Facade, that's right, yeah. No, I like
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I think they have a couple of options open for that. So that's the other good thing is that, sometimes you just need to have the good guy lose. He can't be winning all the time. And Curse kind of needed that win far more than Gregory Iron did in that.
No, I agree.
So, go ahead, do it. Do it. So I'm all on board with that. And then we had the ongoing, Nikki Valentino being in charge of Bobby Beverly. Some of the other big news there was Nate Mattson still hanging around, even though he's retired, still hanging around. And he said he's going to bring in some added help for the Sons of Michigan. Do you think this is a good move since he seems to be staying in a managerial role?
Sure. He's good on the mic. We've said many good things about Boone, and he did have a win, which was, you know, convincing on the card and against Mr. RBI, I think it was, or some darn thing. But
yeah,
but yeah, I mean, they're a good act, and they can add somebody to freshen them up, sounds good to me. They haven't been a focus of TV, but, you know, they're keeping them out there for people to know about. So that's good. I mean, again, you know, in general, this is still a well-booked promotion that's an enjoyable TV show every week. I mean, it does insult your intelligence. It keeps things between the lines. And when they do things that are a little harder to explain, like who's in charge storylines and stuff, you criticize it more because you're used to better from them. That's all.
Yep. Yes, you are. And I'll tell you what, I don't think I can beat that summation of the first 3 weeks of television there. So I say we get on out of here. And since you usually like to sign off first, I say it is all on you.
All right, Kevin. Yeah, this is Dan again. Thanks for listening. And we certainly enjoy talking about PWO, and if you have any feedback, feel free to comment on the underneath the post, and we'll take it into consideration. Thanks.
Thank you, grandkids. I am going to go enjoy some basketball, I suppose, and grab a sippy time beer. Southern Tier happens to be in the Tefrango fridge right now, so go out and enjoy one for yourself. Later. Yeah.